What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This was the question that the disciples asked after they had just witnessed the miraculous calming of the stormy Sea of Galilee. The Lord Jesus had taken them on board ship. They were crossing the sea, and the mighty waves rose and filled the ship. But Jesus was asleep on a pillow on the stern. They were alarmed. They were disturbed. They were fearful. They had no peace. They very rudely awoke the Lord Jesus by saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Notice his answer to their rebuke. He said, he arose, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The same one that spoke peace on that day is the one that we present, who is able to speak peace to you and to all who are troubled in conscience and heart. The disciples were unable to cope with the situation. They were absolutely unable to do one thing about it. But there was one on board ship who was able to do something about it, and he did. He simply spoke and brought a calm. Through his word today, he also speaks and would bring peace to those who would hear him. And the peace that he speaks and brings is on a firm, solid foundation. It is nothing of a false nature. It is true. We read in the Word of God, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 17, in referring to man's condition, "The way of peace have they not known." This is what is true of all men by nature. History itself proves it conclusively. From the very beginning of man's history on earth, there has been no peace. There have been wars, rumors of wars. The struggle going on today, that which went on in every generation, it seems, from the time that man has been on the face of the earth, only clearly shows the truth of this verse. Truly, the way of peace men have not known. Man has sought peace. He has labored for it. He has fought for it. He has bargained for it. Man has set up his League of Nations. It failed. Man today has the United Nations. Is it effectual? We have but to look around and see and have to conclude that it is not. This Bible verse is true, beloved friend. Connection with man and his efforts for peace, the way of peace, he has not known. There is a false peace that man has to offer, and it's on a wrong foundation. It is unlasting. This, of course, is a delusion. Satan would seek to present men and women with that which gives them false hopes. I trust that my listener today is not basing his hopes for eternity upon anything of a false nature. There is only one true ground of peace, and that is what we desire to present to you today. In Colossians chapter 1, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, as the one who has become the peacemaker. The one who alone could make peace is the one who created the worlds. Those elements which he stilled on the Sea of Galilee were of his own making. He controlled him. He was God, manifest in flesh when he was here. This is what the disciples found out. What manner of man is this? God manifest in flesh. The Son of God, God the Son. In Colossians we read that to him is attributed the work of creation. But also, he became man. And in his manhood, all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. And we read in verse 20, that having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The sinner needs to be reconciled to God. Sin is what has caused the breach between man and God. Sin is what has created a warfare between man and God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to remove that which has caused the warfare and to bring man who is at enmity against God into a state of friendship. The peace that you need more than anything else is not the peace that the nations are wanting to have today. It's the peace that you need with God himself. Because of our sins, we are alienated from God. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, and all by nature and practice, apart from Christ, having not been born again, not children of God, are wicked in our sins. And Jesus came, however, to save us from our sins and to remove the wickedness of our sins. And he alone could do it. Just as he alone could rise in the boat and speak peace, so he alone could rise from his Father's throne and come into this world and give himself on the cross of Calvary a ransom for the souls of men. It was necessary that his blood be shed. There is no peace apart from the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are trusting to anything else, if you are depending upon your good works, or your church membership, or your baptism, as a foundation upon which you have your hope set for heaven, you are simply on false foundation of peace. You have no peace. You are like those that the prophet Jeremiah says, peace, peace, when there is no peace. God in his word has given us a true foundation for peace. And the Lord Jesus Christ has made peace with God about the whole question of sin. And that peace he made through the shedding of his own blood, such as we have here. That sacrifice that he made, that payment which he paid, has satisfied a sin-hating God. He is the one mediator between God and men who gave himself for our sins, and his blood has satisfied every righteous demand that God had against us. His blood is that which removes, that which creates the war between us and God. He made peace. He is the peacemaker. He also is the one who proclaimed peace at his resurrection. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, we read that on the very day of his resurrection, for this one who died for our sins rose again, and he proved himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. And on the same day of the resurrection, it was at evening time, the doors were shut and the disciples were gathered together. Jesus stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. This scripture shows us that our Lord Jesus Christ not only made peace with God, but he desires that you and I should have this peace. He died to procure it. He lives to bestow it. He preached peace, and he is still preaching peace today. Through his word, wherever it goes out, the message of reconciliation, be ye reconciled to God. Peace has been made by the blood of his Christ. Christ Jesus and his precious blood at Calvary is that which has availed to make peace. And so he offers it in the preaching of his word, peace be unto you. Regard this, beloved, here as a personal invitation. Peace be unto you. He offers it, peace be unto you. And in resurrection still, for he is a resurrected Savior, a living Savior that we present, he still offers peace to you. In Romans chapter 5, we are told how this peace is received. Based on what we read in the fourth chapter, the last verse, who was delivered for our offenses, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is a substitute for our sins. He died in our stead at Calvary. He made peace by the blood of his cross. He was raised again for our justification. This same one who made peace and who preached peace is the one who now gives peace with God through the work of Calvary and on the principle of faith. In verse 1 of chapter 5, we read, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other channel through which peace could come to us. There is no other one in whom we could have peace. Just as the disciples on the Sea of Galilee had no other one to turn to, so you and I have no other one in whom we may have peace. But we have that one available. He is the available substitute for all who will believe. He died for all. He rose again and offers peace to all. And now all who believe on him are those who have peace. Let me ask you, beloved hearer, if you are conscious of having peace with God, or are you still at war with him? Do you still have a heart that is at enmity with him? Or have you been brought into a state of friendship? Has that which has been between you and God been removed by the blood of his cross? It still is the remedy available. You may avail yourself of it. That which causes war between you and God will be removed. Yea, the blood of Christ is still available to cleanse away all your sin. When, do you say? The moment that you believe on him. We are justified by faith. Justified means to be cleared from all guilt. The enmity is all on our part. God was never an enemy of yours, but sin has made man an enemy of God. But through faith in the blood of Christ, you and I can be brought into a state of friendship. And this is made possible because our guilt has been removed from us through the cleansing virtue of his precious blood. The Bible tells us in this marvelous verse, based on the death and resurrection of Christ, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, then, is possessed by all those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, hear, it is our desire, as certainly I know that it is the Lord's desire more than mine, that you should have this peace. Now from the glory, the Lord would seek to reach your heart and to have you turn to him. He still hands out to you as a gift his peace. And this peace is found solely in himself, not in your making. You are never told to make your peace with God. You could never do it. You would be absolutely unable to make your peace with God. Just as unable as the disciples were unable to calm the stormy sea on Galilee. But Jesus has made peace, and he offers it to you. I would like to read from John's Gospel, chapter 14, his very own words in regards to this. In verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. There is nothing in the world that can give you this peace. Nothing in the world can procure it. The world is that in which we have tribulation and trial and distress. All around us, there's unrest and turmoil, and it is becoming worse and worse. It's the result of sin. But the Lord Jesus here speaks of a peace that he leaves as a legacy for all those who will trust in him. As the result of his work at Calvary and his resurrection, he leaves this peace to be accepted. Also, he speaks of my peace I give unto you. This is a wonderful gift, beloved friend, that the Lord Jesus gives to his own. Not only do we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the essential necessity. Without this, we are lost. We're going to go down in the stormy sea. But peace with God is ours when we trust Christ and we're saved. This is peace of conscience, knowing that we're going to glory, that all is well, our sins have been atoned for. We are in a state of friendship with God, not enmity. But we're still in the world. We're still on the stormy sea of time. The Lord has said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Yes, the winds will blow, the waves will rise, and we can have a peace that the world can never give us, the peace of heart. This is what the Lord himself experienced when he was here, and which was manifested when he was in that ship. Though the waves were beating the boat and filling the boat, where was he? Was he distressed? Was he disturbed? No. He had a peace that the disciples did not have, but a peace that they could have had. And it's the peace that he gives to those that know him as Savior and that trust him. How good it would have been had the disciples said to themselves, reasoning thus, well, the Lord is on board ship with us, and certainly nothing can touch us. As long as he is here, we're safe. We're just as safe as he is. And certainly he's being peaceful there sleeping, and we ought to be too. Faith would have brought them this. This was the peace that the Lord had. This is the peace that the Lord would give to us as we trust him, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love him. This is what the believer has even now. Let wars come, let nations rage as we approach the end of the age. We have Christ on board our vessel. We know him as Savior. We can trust him also as our Master, our Lord, and know that all is well. But now I would just close and appeal once more again to those of my listeners who know not peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you not be persuaded today to receive from him what he offers? He has procured peace for you by the blood of his cross. He offers it to you now. He says, peace be unto you. He is our peace. Receiving him will bring to you the peace with God that you need. And then trusting him as your Savior will give you his peace in whatever circumstances you may be called to face.